Welcome to Housing Developments.
I'm Jim Tobin.
And I'm Paul Lopez.
Hey, Paul.
Guten Tag.
It's good to see you. That's right. Whatever that meant. But yeah, no thing. You know I don't speak Spanish.
Nice. First of all, let's begin by thanking our sponsor, right? LG ProBuilder.
ProBuilder, let's build a good life together.
That's right.
Yeah, we thank LG for their sponsorship of Housing Developments.
100%.
And
for those who aren't watching us on video, we have our special guest, a returning guest.
That's right.
Senor Tom Ward.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Tom doesn't know what to do with
this. He doesn't know what to do with your banter.
We have a good time here, Tom.
Yes,
we do. All right. So let's get Tom's information out of the way, and then we can talk a little bit about the state of housing, as we always do. So Tom, a couple of months ago, you were on the show, and you made what some would call a bold prediction. So let's bring that back and remind people of what you said.
If it's enacted legislatively, is it immune from the takings clause? Mm-hmm. That was the question asked, and he kept bringing it back to that, mm-hmm. because both sides seem to agree that, no, just because it's enacted legislatively doesn't mean the takings clause does not apply. So both sides seem to agree to that. And he kept coming back to say, wait a second, we all seem to agree on this. Why don't we just remand the case back to the lower courts, let them deal with the question of whether a taking actually occurred, right, and be done with it. And if I had a bet, that is where I think the majority of the court goes. Right. I think that's the answer to the question asked.
So Tom, you are 100% right. Which is, no offense, kind of rare.
Yeah, you're like the Supreme Court whisperer. I was afraid to make that prediction, but I said, yeah, I think on this one I could. Yeah. Talk a little bit about it.
Yeah.
So it was the Sheets case. It has to do with impact fees. So I came on last time, talked after the oral argument.
Right.
And it was pretty clear the court was going to say, wait a second.
Yeah.
Just because an impact fee is created by the legislature doesn't mean it doesn't have to comply with the takings clause.
Right.
And that's what they did. They played small ball with the decision. They didn't give us a whole lot of good language on how bad impact fees are, which was what we were hoping for.
Right.
But they did say, yes, when you locality issues an impact fee, it has to comply with the takings clause.
Right.
And it was so clear, not only was it unanimous, but they brought on the decision early also, as you predicted, right?
Yes, exactly. They didn't have to wait till June.
So what's the next step? How does this now impact our members and the real world?
So there are a number, and I had to write them down, but there are a number of states that follow this kind of rule that if it's from the legislature, it didn't have to comply with the takings clause. So in those states, it's great, and that's California, Arizona, Colorado, Maryland, Oregon, and Washington. The other states are the states in the 10th Circuit.
Mm.
So that includes Wyoming, Utah, Colorado, Kansas, New Mexico, and Oklahoma. So those are directly impacted. That if you bring a takings claim on an impact fee on a condition on your permit,
right,
that they have to go through what we call the Nolan and Dolan test,
right,
to see if there's a nexus and rough proportionality. In this case, Mr. Sheets had to pay a $23,000 traffic impact fee for his mobile home.
On the other side of town.
Yeah. It was crazy. There's no way he has that much impact.
Right, right.
But it was done by the legislature, and the court just said, oh, no, that's as long as it's okay, it's reasonable, and that's reasonable, then it's okay.
Right.
And now they're going to have to go back and check and see, is this really proportional to his impact?
Right.
So it's a good decision. It's gonna help,
right?
And so practically, when we talked the first time, I'd asked you the question of this. So this means impact fees are wiped out across the country, right?
And I said no.
And
I was right with that one too, Jim.
That's right. But in the states that you listed, realistically, our members could now go ahead and challenge what they believe to be overly burdensome impact fees, right? That are right and
have to go through the test, and those localities will now have to go through the test and say, okay, what's the proportional impact of these homes? And now there was a lot of discussion about when you do it legislatively, you're doing it to a bunch of people,
right,
as opposed to if you're doing it on one project, and that will be interesting to see how that comes out,
right?
But you have to go through the test.
So when you talk about it, when you say test, what is that test? Is it a kind of like a mathematical process as opposed to a feeling, a gut feeling.
No, kind of thing. They hire consultants, like locality will hire consultants, and they do studies to figure out what the impact is and what the fee should be based on that impact.
And let's say a builder challenges the impact fee. They go through this Nolan Dolan test, and it comes back, nope, we're right. It's, you know, and it's still a true. Could the builder then sue again? Is it what it is?
No. If it's right, if they go through the test and say, well, that's roughly proportional to your development's impact, then that's okay. But it's if it's not roughly proportional,
is there an expectation that a local government? I know you said they go through, they use consultants and things like that, but do we really trust the local government to give money back in a case like this?
No, the courts will, if they're not proportional, the courts will force them to give money back.
I see.
And we've actually had some cases that have come through the legal action fund where they won, and the court required the locality to give back money.
Right. Okay. And lower the impact fee.
And lower the impact fee.
Okay. All right. Yep. Okay. So that's pretty significant.
Yep.
But the beauty is it's no longer kind of this feel, you know, whatever somebody feels like it, and you're like, wait, where did this number come from?
Yes.
There's a process. There's a way to test it. You know, empirically.
And there's math.
And there's math.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
As opposed to just kind of this gut feeling that somebody said, oh, let's pound $25,000.
Dollars out of everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
We're just going to do it across the board. Everyone the same. Everyone has to pay $20,000.
Right. Well, no.
That's not fair.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Nice.
Cool.
Any other predictions, bold predictions for the Supreme Court? Got anything
caps,
on, yeah, you
caps.
Got, yeah, you got anything on Trump's liability as a president? Yeah. Anything you'd throw at us?
Please don't answer that.
I'm not going to answer that. I was watching that the other day.
All right. Well, fair enough.
So another issue that's been making a lot of news lately is the case that regarding the National Association of Realtors, right?
Yes.
And you took... Everyone almost immediately was like, what does it mean? What does it mean?
Yeah, 6% commissions are gone away, right?
Okay, you've taken a deep dive. You're actually going to do a shop talk. And if people who are interested, you know, can go on nhb.org and sign up for the shop talk on this. But kind of give us a summary of what you have looked into and what you've decided.
Yep. So as you may know, that NAR had lost a case at the lower court,
right?
And the jury awarded $1.8 billion. I mean, that's a lot of money.
American.
So they have settled now, and they have agreed to pay $418 million. Still a lot of money.
Sure.
And they've agreed to do something, make some changes to their policies. And I mean, I could go through them, but I'll save that for the shop talk.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right.
But there are a number of things that they have to change in their policies now. The big one is they used to require the seller's agent to pay the buyer's agent a commission.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that is no longer allowed. It can be done.
Right.
It can't be a requirement.
It
was always a requirement for realtors.
Right.
And so that's the big change.
And they're using the MLS kind of as a very large tool to get people to, you know, force them essentially to go and use that 6%.
And that is the other big change. They can't have any of that information on the MLS anymore. That was always there. It was here's the buyer's part. You get 3%. Buyer's agent part. You get 3%. And, you know, unfortunately, if a house had, the buyer's part was 1%.
Yeah.
Well, not as interested in showing that house as I am.
Yeah.
One with 3%, and so that will stop.
Good.
You know, just to go down there, just briefly. You know, I've obviously read a lot about this since the settlement, and there does seem to be concern that you're going to impact the buyers out there who could use that if they have to come up with their own 3% or whatever the fee would be for the buyer's agent, which is no longer required to be paid by the seller, you're going to hurt the affordability for those, you know, first-time home buyers, first-generational home buyers that may need they need that help. And so I don't know if we'll get into that, but
I can't answer that at this point. I think the market will take care of that one.
Right.
But we won't know that for 6 months after this goes into effect.
Right.
End of the year, somewhere around there. I think the realtors will figure this out and the market will take care of that.
But the other interesting thing about this is the Department of Justice.
So they had also challenged the realtors.
Right.
They're back.
Exactly. under the Trump administration, they had a settlement.
Right.
And it was really very interesting reading the opinion. So they had a settlement, and
And I thought, okay, we're good. And then all of a sudden, the DOJ opens up an investigation again into NAR. And they're like, no, we have a settlement. It says, no, you closed the investigation.
Right.
And really the crux of the lawsuit was, the settlement says it's closed. They closed the investigation. Didn't say they couldn't reopen it. And that's what they did. And the court upheld it. And so the DOJ has reopened an investigation. I don't know what that means at this point, but they're allowed to do it.
Yeah, a lot of that had to deal with the MLS and the ownership of the MLS and access to it, I think, and that's another big shoe out there, I think. So it's interesting times.
So Tom, you've got a shop talk happening next week. Can you give us a little bit of that info?
April 30th, 3 o'clock, be there. Yeah. We're gonna talk more about this NAR settlement. There's some other experts on the panel. Yeah. We're looking forward to having a conversation about it.
And you can register on NHB.org, right?
That's right.
Excellent.
Awesome. Great.
Well, Tom, we really appreciate your time and efforts.
I'm always happy to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yep. All right, thanks.
So I guess that was a lot of information.
Yeah, it's great.
Anything going on the Hill? Anything else that we can talk about?
Well, I mean, we finally got that Ukraine Israel package,
the foreign aid package.
I mean, and Speaker Johnson, of course, is as we talked last time, his speakership seems to be hanging by a thread, but now, you know, Donald Trump has come out in support of him. He's basically told Marjorie Taylor Greene to kind of back off.
Right.
I think she's going to force the vote. She's so far out there on this.
Sure.
Dare Democrats to kind of save the speaker. And I think
they're willing, right?
They are. There seems to be, you know, 15 or 20 of them that are willing to keep him in there. They think he's bucked the right and in their mind done the right thing.
Sure.
And the reality is the Republicans ahead of an election where the president is, you know, every day is being video, you know, you're seeing him sitting in front of a courtroom. He's tied up from the campaign trail. The Republican Party doesn't need any more stories of their in disarray.
Sure.
And this would do that. I think, you know, Speaker Johnson may or may not be the speaker next year after the elections, either by virtue of the Democrats taking over the House. Or by virtue that maybe he doesn't run for speaker anyway, if I was the Republicans, I would advocate for let's just get out of 2024 alive, and see where the chips fall after the election, because that's really what's going to determine who the next speaker is in my mind.
No, 100%, and things are looking equally calm on the Senate side, right?
Things
kind of pushed through with very little. I mean, I'm really shocked at how little conversation is happening about, you know, McConnell leaving and kind of leaving that void. No one's really talking about that. Is there a reason why?
I think there's this quiet campaign going on behind the scenes.
Okay.
You know, the Senate handles things a little bit differently. They prefer not to air their dirty laundry on the Senate floor or
right.
media.
Right.
But I think that, you know, once you get through the election, they'll find out who the next leader is by virtue of who has the majority.
Sure.
And there's going to be some great candidates. We have relationships with all of them. There could be dark horse candidates as well. The Senate is becoming less establishment Republican and more reflective of the House. You have some people that are willing to kind of buck the Mitch McConnells of the world as they see the establishment, the old guard. It remains to be seen how what that looks like and what members get elected. If the Senate does flip to Republican, you know, who are those new members of the Senate,
right,
and the Republicans in particular that could be, you know, votes to sway.
Right.
So it stays tuned, but I'm not surprised it's quiet. It's just the nature of the Senate.
All right, and then I put Tom on. We put Tom on the spot, so I'm going to put you on the spot. When do you think we hear about Vice President for the nominations for Trump?
Who's going to appoint his running mate?
And who are some of the top candidates, or who are you hearing?
Yeah, I still think you're looking at Tim Scott. I still think you're looking at Governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem. I think that her name is out there. She's been on the campaign trail a lot. Mm-hmm. Maybe some Senate folks, but I doubt it. They're poised to have, you know, some say in what the future looks like by being in the majority,
right,
potentially. So, I mean, that's kind of where I am. I don't think they're not the only two, of course.
But right now.
But for right now, when that happens, probably, you know, June. I mean, Republican convention is July, if I have my dates right.
Then that's right.
So it's got to be sooner rather than later. I don't think he waits to the week before the campaign. He's going to want to build momentum with that decision, and that, you know, and that will, I think that's what's going to happen. And especially if you think about it, right, whenever this New York court case finally resolves itself one way or the other, he's going to need some momentum and new news.
Yeah, new
other than this. So that the vice president candidate certainly brings that. I've heard two stories. One, he already knows who it is, known for a while, just biding his time. I've heard others, he's still weighing his decision. But I think either way, it's going to be somebody who compliments him, who speaks to, maybe softens him a little bit in the eyes of some of those swing voters that he's going to need to get to win election. So stay tuned. It's going to be interesting. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I think that's it for.
I think that's it. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Tom, for joining us as always.
And thanks for LG Pro Builders.
Let's build the good life together.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Appreciate their support. All right. So until next time.
That's right.
Thanks. I'm Jim Tobin.
And I'm Paul Lopez.
See you.
Take care.